We're going to take attendance. Councilperson Phil Sacco. Councilperson Daphne Jones. Councilperson Dave Kolek. Councilperson Dan Fusco. And Supervisor Gregory Mel. Sacco.
Here, Gregory Mel.
Can't help it.
I need a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the January 2025 meeting. And the organizational meeting, including the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
We have early privilege of the floor tonight. Jeff Dora from Nevada County Engineering. Jeff?
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hi. Hey, I tend to sneak in. Sam asked if I could come up and you know, fill you guys in on the project as far as Firehouse Road and where things stand at this point. Today, the engineer actually just submitted what they call the IPP, which is the initial project proposal to DOT. So from there, the next step will be a public informational meeting. We're going to take that information and the engineer will pull it all together, send it to DOT, address any of the issues. Once that happens, then DOT is going to send their comments back. Once that happens, then we'll start moving into the final phase of the design portion of the project. So right now we're looking at a bid initially, probably a bid date of next spring, late winter, early spring, with a kickoff, hopefully mid-April, 1st of May of 2027 is currently where we're at.
You want to bring them up to date on what's going on with the paperwork that we need to do for the extra money we're going to need for that bridge project, because of where the prices came in at?
Well, as of this point, it's a little over budget.
Yeah. Well, everything went crazy. We knew that. I kind of told them over the last couple of months things were kind of going, and everything. I mean, the last stuff I got was they said on average 210% things went up.
That's a pretty good number right there. Yeah. You know, that between the materials escalating, changes in the specifications that DOT has put out. I mean, you're looking at probably, I didn't start this project. I kind of jumped in kind of midship here. So, you know, I think the application was done like 2022, something like that, 23.
2021 was the first time I applied. And then I actually applied three times before they granted us the money. And then it's been going since then.
Yeah, so you've seen quite an escalation in materials, changes in the specs. The other thing that ended up happening is when they did the initial proposal to Bridge New York, they had based it on conventional piles being driven to the foundation. Based on information of what geologically that area consisted of. Well, when they actually did the soil borings, it was different. And based on that, they had to change up how the foundation was going to be done. So instead of conventional piles, they're going to have to go with what they call micro piles. So, and that's a much more expensive footing system, you know, support system. So if not something anybody would have predicted, and I think if you'd asked, 10 out of 10 engineers would have said the same thing. Yeah, we're going to base it on geologically what that area normally looks like, you know, and other projects and stuff. So that also kind of jacked the price up. So between those, you know, three things, that's where we're at.
And we're still responsible for the 5%, because he mentioned something about the extra money that we might have to go apply for. Yeah, might be in the 20% range of what was left.
That's possible. That is a possibility. I won't say that it's definite. I have seen DOT come up with more money, and I have seen them come up with the 95%. So it's hard saying. It's going to depend on when we finish and got the design done, where the state is as far as financial goes. I know there's some different things that can be done to find extra money, and I know one of them that I've seen is what they call member items from the legislature at the state level. So if you were to talk to, you know, I'm not from here, so originally, so I'm kind of, I don't know who's who as far as
Assembly and Senate.
Yeah, Assembly and Senate, but definitely want to reach out to them because they are what they call member items, and either chamber can enact them. And certainly, will it be the full amount? Maybe not, but it may be half a million, and I know DOT is looking at some different things to kind of help maybe bring the cost down, some different things that they're going to look at and say, hey, maybe we can try, you know, what if we do this and what if we do that, and hopefully we can maybe bring it down some. Are we going to be able to bring it all the way? I don't think so, but hopefully we can get it further down. And again, bid time, we don't know how bidders are going to be looking at it. They may come in aggressive and throw some ridiculous number at it and go, okay, wow, that's, didn't see that one coming. It depends how aggressive they want to be and who's bidding it. We could be 200,000, 300,000 below, could be half a million. It's hard to say. It's just a strange industry right now where the numbers are going. They're kind of all over the place. High, low.
Can I ask you a question, please? I'm not familiar with this project, so I gather you're talking about structural bridge work on Firehouse Road. Is that what this project
correct.
Is?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it. Does the project involve any water flooding mitigation downstream, or does it have any effect downstream or anything that residents need to be concerned with?
No, there's nothing as far as the big thing behind this project is trying to alleviate the flooding problem that you have in that particular area with debris getting caught up within the, you know, the twin barrel culverts.
So is that the main reason for the project, is flood mitigation at that point, or is it a structural thing?
It's mostly
that had been yellow flagged a couple of times. We've done a lot of repairs on it. So it's
repaired the face of it.
Those pipes are getting pretty old.
So naturally, one will help the other, though, right?
It should, yeah, absolutely.
In the design.
Because we're going to go from culverts to a bridge.
Look at the design. Have we reviewed the design, or is that all in the county?
We'll see it once it's done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we had the last say.
Once the design is done.
Well, even when the design, I mean, even when it's done, there's still input to be, you know, to be taken as far as, I mean.
Sure. Okay, thanks. It's my first introduction to it. So
no, that's fine.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff, I was on the Herkimer County Transportation Board for 10 years, and you might be familiar with some of those people, Debbie Windbacker.
I'm completely new to this area as of a year ago.
I believe the Firehouse Road originally was a spinoff of the Mud Project built in the early 70s, and when I was on that committee, the state gave grant money for culverts in place of bridges. And I'm just surprised that that's 50 plus years old. You know, we did the maintenance on it. We had the barrel pipes, actually, the ends came up because the elevation's very critical there because Spectrum, all of their main stuff is right underneath the bed of the creek. I mean, within not much. So the end of the pipe's actually bent up. At the time he's passed, Richard Hanna. Remember him? Richard Hanna did work for us. They cut the ends of the pipes back and refaced the front, I believe, twice. But I'm just curious that the cost between the bridge and something that lasted 50 plus years with today's technology wouldn't be the cheaper way out.
Well,
I'm looking at the tower.
No, I agree with you. I totally get what you're saying. But I think no matter what you put there, you're going to always have a bottleneck in that area. Therefore, debris is always going to get caught up on those heavy rains. And when you start getting that debris caught up, at, you know, and Sam, been numerous years dealing with it, I'm sure. And
I can remember the water coming over the top of the guardrail.
So what this will do is we're going to actually take and make the stream bed so it's kind of a nice, gentle flow through there because there's a concrete base under there now.
Right.
So, you know, that'll change velocity and help calm things down and, again, let the debris get through. It, unfortunately, bridge was about the only way that was going to happen because you can't really make a culvert big enough.
Yeah.
Just not the 1.25 they want. What DEC wants is you take the biggest, or you take the river width of that area, and then you actually have to make it bigger than what it is to accommodate the 50-year, 100-year flood. So that put us into bridge distance.
There's a 5-foot smooth wall culvert that goes under Cosby Manor Road, a county road, under a town road, and exhausts into the real street just before the opening.
Yes.
And how many times we've had to clean the silt out of it, it would almost plug solid 5 feet deep.
Well, just if you don't get it, I mean, sometimes if you don't get enough flow, it just kind of builds up
good luck.
But that's kind of where we're at this point. You know, we've still got a bit of a ways to go, but we'll certainly do everything we can to, again, help you guys and keep things moving along. And I know the engineer is doing some, you know, their part to try to help bring the cost down, and whatever we can do to help as far as paperwork goes, or, you know, anybody, if there's somebody you need us to speak to, we'll gladly do that. But that's where it stands as of right now.
Okay.
Hopefully that answered it.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to bring them up to date on where we were. It's been quite a while since.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's
been a number of years. This project's been kind of coming together, you know.
Well, it was kind of good because I just started working for the county back in, you know, early May. So I got all these projects kind of dropped in my lap, which this is just one of, you know, eight that I've got going on. So, and just so you know, you guys aren't the only ones that prices escalated. People are like, oh, it happens to just us. No, it happened to the town of Vienna. And I've got some other ones. Town of Trenton, their project, that went up. So everybody's in the same boat.
So we'll know the bids around May of next year?
I'm going to say we're shooting. We are shooting to hopefully have the bid opening up. I'm going to say January of 27th is when we're going to open bids. So by the end of January, we should have a rock solid number to go with. But again, you know, we'll work with the state and try to help find the parts that are missing as far as money goes and try to do everything we can to keep it to that no more than 5%. Because I know it's right now, times are tough, doesn't matter where you go, and we'll do what we got to do.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I appreciate it. Thank you guys. Certainly.
Thank you.
If you were still in high school like these guys, we'd sign the thing so you could give it to your teacher.
I am a long ways away. Holy moly. I'm now one of those old fogies I didn't think would ever happen.
No, you ain't.
Oh, it's terrible. But if there's anything you need, don't hesitate. Sam knows how to get a hold of me. Don't hesitate to reach out. Any questions, comments, concerns, gladly I'll answer whatever I can to the best of my ability.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right.
We're going to go right into new business. We have Resolution 16-2026. Which is a sheltering agreement for the Humane Society of Rome. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approves the attached feline and canine sheltering agreement with Rome, New York from January 1st, 2026 until the end of the year, December 31st, 2026. Need a motion to approve Resolution 16-2026.
I'll make the motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 17-2026, the sheltering agreement with New Hartford. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approves the attached sheltering agreement with the town of New Hartford Municipal Animal Shelter in New Hartford, New York from January 1st, 2026 until December 31st, 2026. And just so everyone's clear, that the reason we're passing these two resolutions is because Stephen Swan's Humane Society has decided to terminate all contracts with municipalities. So I need a motion to approve resolution 17-2026.
I motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
We're also going to add resolution 18-2026, which will be a public hearing to update local law number 1 of 2023 on the regulation of battery energy storage systems. That public hearing will be held February 9th at 6 o'clock p.m. before our next town board meeting. And Patty will give an update on that. So I need a motion to approve resolution 18-2026.
I'll make the motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Moving along to official reports. County Legislator Dave Buck. Absent. Councilperson Phil Sanko.
I've got a few items to report on of interest. Code Officer Jim Maxwell and I completed all the paperwork needed to move forward on the unsafe building local law with a property in Deerfield that needs to be torn down. Next month, Attorney Bill Schmidt will prepare a resolution for the February board meeting to summon the property owner to appear before the board to provide a remedy for the violations. The house has been condemned. There's a trailer, two steel containers on the property. If the property owner does not appear, the town will take action to remove everything on the property. Hopefully, it's remedied. If it's not, I'm gonna work with Sam and try to do it in-house. The way that works is whatever the cost is, if the bill isn't paid by the property owner, it will be placed on their town county tax to guarantee Deerfield getting their money. So we're working on that after next month. We've been working on it since May. It's not easy getting this stuff done. And then that was the issue for next month. I got four more issues that I'll just go over quickly. I'll be working with Sam, getting information on three pieces of equipment that the town no longer needs and will put on Auctions International. It's an F-550 truck, 2011. Our old leaf sucker that took five guys to operate out in the weather, ice, snow, traffic. Now that we have that nice leaf vacuum truck, we no longer need that. And a 1986 Badger, which is similar to what you might have seen as a Gradall. It's 40 years old. So we're going to put those three items on Auctions International because we're looking at buying a 2026 Ford F-250. Steve Ford is the municipal pricing contractor in the area. The General Motors contract is in Rochester. So we've been dealing with Steve Ford. The municipal pricing is a special price. Chevy and Herkimer only has fleet pricing, which is more than municipal. So we're looking at a truck, a 2026 F-250, pretty much all standard equipment, $46,247 is the municipal price. So I kind of wanted to feel out how the board felt. It's something we need. We could charge it to the machinery fund, and these three pieces of equipment, they're not going to bring a whole lot of money, but we credit that fund and bring the price of this truck down, which will have years and years of service. So I don't know how the board feels about it.
Is that a diesel, Phil?
What's
that diesel truck?
No, it's an 8-cylinder gas. Pretty standard, everything. It's a single cab, vinyl interior, nothing fancy.
No, it's a work truck.
It's a work truck.
Yeah.
But it should last 10 years if it's taken care of. And it'll come in handy. Its main purpose will be for the parks to haul the equipment around all the areas in town we mow. The guys can use it to run for parks or on the jobs back and forth. And even in the winter when Sam's not around to check roads, it can be used for that because we work multiple shifts. So I think it's a good thing to buy. It's one of the biggest things we need in 2026 as far as expense goes. We have one more that's pretty expensive, but just so everybody knows, our brand new Freightliner, I don't know if you've seen it in front of your house go by, that's operational, paid for in cash, no bonding. We have a brand new Mack 10-wheeler cabin chassis down at the highway garage, waiting for the plow sander implements that might not be until early 27, but the cabin chassis is paid for, so the only outstanding debt down the road will be the implements. And we bonded for nothing, we paid cash, which is really a plus for our township. So does that anybody have a problem with us buying this truck by resolution next month? I think it's something we should do.
Yeah.
And also our sand salt building, I don't know if anybody's ever seen it, it was a $1 million venture under the Scott Mahardy administration. And it's missing what they call a curtain in the front. The sand's towards the back, the salt's in the corner in the front, and the wind blows the water and then the salt and turns it to rock salt, like rock candy. And rock hard, and they can't smash it to use it in the trucks. So unfortunately, we can't yell at Scott. The building was $900,000+, and that probably should have been thrown in. Sam's checking, there's two manufacturers, the one we bought the building from and another one. So I don't think we can get the three quotes we need because there's only two manufacturers. He's getting a price installed that's going to be in the $30,000 range. Something that we need to get, probably should have got it back then. But hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, what good is paying all that money for tons of salt and having it be ruined? So he'll be coming forward next month with a price on that. And the last thing I worked on with him is the ATV for the parks. He's gonna give me the measurements for a custom built shed that will be put next to the garage. And, hopefully by next month I'll have that. He's going to give me the measurements. And it's nothing the box stores sell. I mean, they sell the standard sheds. This is something that has to probably be custom built. So we have some Amish in town that do that. And I think it'd be great to give them the opportunity to bid on it. So that's all I have. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you. Councilperson Daphne Jones.
Nothing to report at this time.
Councilperson Dave Kolick.
Nothing to report.
Councilperson Dan Fusco.
I have a few things. The first, you're all probably wondering about the roof repairs. We talked about that. And like any project, things evolve, and in order to do it right, you have to be flexible and make changes as new information comes along. And the new information is, now, since we've had a snow load, we see ice buildup underneath the snow, and that's caused by heat loss. So one of the estimators, Utica Gutters, the two guys came down, and we went up in the attic that we covered. It's kind of interesting how this building is structured. We went through the entire attic, the back section of this, and it was a real cold day, and of course we're up there freezing, but we find areas where you could actually warm your hands. The heat just pours right up through. So there's some critical areas where we have tremendous heat loss. So I'm recommending we don't do anything at this time as proposed prior with the gutters until we fix that problem. I got an estimate just about an hour ago for, I'll submit it to you, Mr. Supervisor, for the installation aspect of that. And I really feel that needs to be done first. And then also, I don't know if we're done there. I think we do that, then we observe and see what happens. We may not want to go gutters all the way around. We may want to just address the protection of the back patio and the new AC condenser first. And then if the insulation does what we hope it does, and that is not build up ice because of the tremendous weight and the danger of when it comes down, not only, you know, danger to the building, then maybe we can proceed. So we have to, once again, be a little flexible and proceed slowly and look at what the reality of what we're talking about is by just observing, like you can see today. But I would, we have one estimate. I'm hoping.
How much is it, Dan?
I'll explain it. It requires just a little bit of explanation. So I hope we can attach that as an addendum to the roof repair estimate, so we do not have to get competitive bid. That's between Mr. Supervisor and our attorney. But he estimates it at $2,000, saying it will probably be less depending on how much material. But it's a very difficult thing to estimate because they actually have to get up in there and they're going to use blow-in, and it actually has to be hand-tucked in between the batting and the trusses where the heat's coming up. Yeah. So they don't need to just go in and blanket in 4 inches. So just a second, this may answer your question, and then absolutely. So there's custom work that's very difficult for them to estimate. So, and I printed off two pages. One is the actual email I got from him, and yep. He says in there it will probably be a bit less depending on how much material it would require. Yes?
Well, I was confused when you mentioned $2,000. What was that for, labor?
For the installation job. The whole job. It'd be materials and labor, but the wild card is the labor. It's hard. The materials. It's hard for them to estimate exactly how much they're going to need to do the job.
Well, if it's under $5,000, we won't need three bids.
Correct.
We only need two quotes by law.
You still need another quote, though.
Yeah, but that could be...
Even if we attach this as an addendum to an existing...
Well, Sam's guys are going to build the... Regardless of what we do, we're going to build the ice barrier.
Right.
He's going to build it out of treated lumber.
Yeah, we should have both, really.
That's going to be done. Tremendous. The guys are going to help with the siding. The highway guys will save us thousands of dollars. And I think everybody's for the insulation, without a doubt.
Yeah. I would still do in the back the gutter and the stone breaks. I strongly consider that. And if you look around at the damage occurring on the building, especially over here in by the court entrance, there's a lot of damage occurring to this building. And we really need to address that. So I think, you know, if this was my house, I would do both. But I would not put that A-frame all the way to the eave. I would put it just above the unit and then use ice breaks and gutters.
Well, we figured if we went up close to the top, then the ice doesn't have the impression as it would have coming way down and hitting.
No, but the professionals agree with me that ice and stone will build up on that and actually get into your soffit. When it comes down, it's going to take your soffit down. You want to be aware of that, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I think the immediate thing to do, and this is my recommendation, is we have the insulation done, and then we observe and see what's going on. But do not discredit doing proper gutters on this building, because we inspect it all the way around, and there's a lot of damage that's being done to this building that can be rectified now before it becomes a big problem. It's an investment into the future of this beautiful building that we are very fortunate to have. Mm-hmm. So that's my recommendation there. Now you have all the estimates. If you want another one, I will have to get an installation.
Can you get a written quote, one more, and then we're good, if you can?
Yeah, we just don't, if that's absolutely necessary, we will, but we don't want to delay that too much longer.
Bill, is that absolutely necessary? If it's under $5,000, we still have to get to...
That's what your procurement policy requires.
Under $5,000?
Yep.
Three, not two, because we had that confusion before. I was told two. I got two, then I was told we needed three. And then delayed it
over
about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Some things you can't find three, so you can get by with two.
Well, the law...
But you have to document that.
Yes.
Okay, well, it should be no problem. I will send... I think one of the other guys that does the estimate can provide the insulation. The third, I'm not sure, but
okay.
Insulation is easy to get. So that that is, like I said, we don't want to rush this. We want to do this right, but we do want to do it completely. And the A-frame is good, but I'm telling you, any structure under a steel roof pitch is a bad setup. And it will get damaged again. It'll get buried. It will eventually get destroyed, just like it already did.
Well, that lasted 10 years, but the problem with it wasn't treated lumber it was made out of, and it rotted.
It got crushed, and the steel came off.
We'll figure it out.
But please take my recommendation on this. Mm-hmm. On the website, the URL still says .org.
Yes.
Okay, is there a reason for that? Does that
we
have to comply with the law on that?
The law, we don't have to make that change until around April 1st, I believe, according to they extended it. So right now I'm working with Quad City, we're implementing those changes.
Okay. Yeah. I would also like to make the recommendation that elected officials have a townofdeerfield.gov email address. There was confusion as to when emails are sent that are either personal or official. If everyone has a townofdeerfield.gov email address and they use that for official business, that solves that problem and there's no confusion whether it was personal email or a business email. Official email.
Yeah, so we took that into consideration.
Never seen a website that doesn't offer those.
Yeah.
I mean, any website I have was usually kind of them, and you fashion them however you want. So you have, Councilman Dave or Gulick, whatever, I would highly recommend we do that to avoid any future confusion, and also public perception. The whole old highway department building, my personal opinion is it's... Don't take offense, but it's shameful. We talk about unsafe buildings. We talk about uncapped buildings. Okay, and also, Phil, you had mentioned with the recycling or the transfer station, we have a shovel-ready site. We do not have a shovel-ready site. There's a resident who I see is here and who may come up after and speak about it, has offered to demolish that for dirt cheap, in my opinion. He'll explain himself, but I believe he can use the aggregate for development he's doing on his own land. It's really hard for us to go to the property owners and say your building's unsafe, or you can't have debris out, or you're unkept, when we have the old highway department building that was built in 1954. How long ago were the asbestos windows taken out? It looks terrible. That whole corner, especially if we build a new development, can be a showpiece. Anytime anyone comes down to go to Newport or the golf club, a lot of people come down. It can be a showpiece. If you remove that, just the new highway department building with the sign is beautiful. You drive by, it's, well, they're feeling beautiful. That really has to go, and I think we put it off too much longer.
Well,
so I suggest we entertain the presentation we're going to get in late privilege. That's all I want to say.
I'd like to just clarify a few things before he speaks. The reason it's not tore down is the back part of it is used for cold storage. If you tear the front down, then you'd have to pay to have it sealed off, and it's quite expensive.
What cold storage? There's
equipment in the back of that building with cold storage.
There's all cold storage in the back of that building, the metal part of the building.
Right. That's the reason it's still standing.
We have to come up with another solution, though. It's shameful.
It's really simple. If the federal money doesn't come through, the way our finances are going, in 2029, we get $117,000 back in bond payments. In 2030, a total of $284,000 will be coming back to the town.
To me, that's a long time away. I mean, it's overdue.
Well, not if you plan.
How much equipment stored in there, Sam?
There's buildings full right now.
Dan, the bonds are staggered a year, so if you planned on building that building in 27 for a 28 payment. The town would get dinged 1 year with an extra bond payment before the windfall of bonds came back. There's three $1 million outstanding
bonds. Talk about building what building? What are you talking about?
The trash transfer building.
Okay.
That is shovel ready.
Yeah.
It is shovel ready.
What site?
Exactly where that building stands.
How is that considered shovel ready? There's a building standing there.
Come on, to tear that down, it's nothing. That's where the footprint is of it.
Yeah.
70-yard ramp coming in, 70.
It's all designed.
It's all designed,
yeah,
it's
okay,
all done.
Okay, okay. So I would really like to see our town, not only as a board member, but as a resident, I would really like to see us have a plan to rectify that, because it's to me, it's shameful.
Well, we do have a plan, but of course...
Can we lay that out? Can you lay that out so people can understand that?
What do you mean, lay it out?
What you just said with the money coming in and what the plans and the intention are. And,
well, the intentions are hopefully to get federal money. Mr. Trump canceled our $550,000 that we had in the bank. So now we're hoping to get...
I wouldn't say that.
He canceled FY 2025 grants.
Yeah. Not just for the town of Deerfield.
For everybody.
Correct. And then it passed
well,
the Senate.
Well, I don't care about anybody
Trump's
else.
Trump's office,
the town of Deerfield.
Congressional office approved it. And then when it went to Senate, it was...
Right. So now
everything stops.
We're hoping for FY 2026. We'll find out sometime in the spring.
Okay.
If that doesn't happen, then between our finances and bond payments that are going to become due, there's a chance we can do it all in-house because...
Let's write that down and let's take a look at that. So we have a plan and direction we're going.
That is the plan.
Instead
it's
of just
very
disagreeing.
Simple.
Okay, so please write it down. I'm very simple too. I don't always understand things unless I see it written down. So please write that down. I want to know that this town is going in the right direction, because it's very difficult to tell people clean up your property when we got that mess. Okay? That's what this is my report, so I want my time back here. I got a couple other things to go on to. What was that? Phil, what was that? I'm sorry, did you say something?
Oh, maybe you ought to get a hearing aid. I didn't say nothing.
Alright, let's continue. Okay.
Phil, last year you fought me at everything. That party's over. It's not going to happen this year.
Excuse me, I didn't fight you on anything. I just
explained. Hey, let's keep control of your face.
Professionally. The party's over this year.
No, it's not.
The polling...
Let's keep control here. Listen, we're not going to run this like the Republican Party Committee, okay? United County Republican Committee. We're going to have order in here. With everyone. With everyone. Continue. Enough. Continue. I will call this meeting now. Continue.
What you just said was really inappropriate. The Poland Fire Company update. Do we know what's going on with that? Does anybody on this board know what's going on?
I don't have an update, no. Do you have an update?
Sam, you're a commissioner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess it's initiated by the town of Ohio to dissolve the Poland Fire Commission. So they have to have a hearing on that. They had a hearing, and now they have a vote that they're going to vote on. They changed the date. I think it's February 10th now. Whether or not they're going to dissolve the Poland Fire Commission. Currently, the Poland Fire Department has no contract, so they're inactive. Okay, they need a sponsor to be active. This is confusing. Try to follow me on it. I think it's unlikely that they vote to dissolve the fire commission, but I don't know.
The people vote, not them.
Correct.
The people have the chance.
Correct. And I think it's unlikely. Please let me finish my report. This could be tied up in litigation for a long time. Now, I was at a fire the other day. The news said the call came in at 5:30. I'm sitting there with one of my neighbors. One of the mutual aid companies shows up at two trucks. One at 6:12, one at 6:14. That's not a very good response. There was water that showed up sooner, but I'm having a hard time getting the report on that. I believe Newport showed up, but I don't know for sure. Deerfield showed up, but by then the building was fully engulfed in flames and a total loss. It was a wood-framed Amish-built barn, and I don't think the Amish dialed it in immediately. I can assume that. Probably a neighbor called it in or passerby. But in any event, I think I'm recommending to this board that we look very carefully at the jeopardy that the section of Deerfield that was once covered by the full Poland Fire Department is in. We need to look at that. This is for safety of not only persons, but property. It is possible if we consider contracting, whether, I don't know what the law is, whether long-term or interim, with the Poland Fire Company to provide coverage until this mess gets worked out. It's been going on, well, we all know how long, 6 months now. We have, and I live in that district, as do few of us here. We have no fire coverage with adequate response times, no matter what people say about that, right? So we need to look at that very, very carefully. This is the word jeopardous, is that's a word, right? Very dangerous. We need to look and see if we can possibly contract with the Poland Fire Company. I spoke to the chief the other day. I said, are you guys ready to go? He goes, yes, we're all ready. We have all our training certificates. Everything they're accused of in that department apparently isn't true. The only thing they need is workers' comp. And that's something that the town would pay, and then we get reimbursed. So I don't. This is out of my wheelhouse. It's confusing issue. But I really suggest the board look at this very seriously and figure out, come up with a solution, how we are going to provide fire coverage to that northern part of Deerfield that was once covered by the Poland Fire Department. Because right now, there is no adequate coverage. I know of four fires where the response times are very, very bad right now. I would love it if our fire company, Deerfield Fire Company, would somehow report to the board or give clarity on call logs. If a representative from this board went to their meetings and came back and reported, or if they sent a representative from their fire company to report, so there's clarity as to what's going on. I have two calls into the fire chief which have been unanswered, because I would like to ask, how can we help? What can we do as a board? But if they don't return phone calls, what can we do? So I would like to see some line of communication open between the fire company and the town board. So I'm making a recommendation now that we take this issue very seriously and start moving fast on providing adequate fire coverage for that part of what was once the Poland Fire District. That's the end of my report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Town Clerk Karen Day, and you can do youth as well.
Tax collection is underway, and it seems to be going smoothly. Thanks to Ann Cristofori, who's assisting me, and additional assistance from Councilman Sacco. I do want to remind anybody that when you send your payment in, don't detach anything on the original bill. Part of that is your receipt that if I don't have, I can't stamp and return to you. We have two town-hosted events coming up. One is the Full Moon Snowshoe, which is on January 31st, and we have our annual Winterfest that's on February 7th. We still only have one snow sculpture for our snow sculpture contest. We've got a couple weeks left, so hopefully we can get some more in there. And as far as the youth program, the winter spring schedule is out. It's in the town newsletter. It's on the website. You can find information on Facebook. Yesterday we did ice skating in the New Hartford Shopping Rec Center, and we had 22 participants. So that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Highway, Sam.
Checking out a few things. I finished our transfer station report today and emailed it in, so that's done. I've got an electronics report, because we do collect electronics and turn those into Oneida County. Solid waste, so that'll be coming up next, as soon as I get all my information. Then I've got an MS4 report, which is quite lengthy, that we're going to be working on here soon. Heard Phil talk about the 550 we've got. We're going to sell that as a whole unit that does have a plow and a salter that goes with it. We'll put that all together and get some pictures on Hawkins International and that. and the other pieces of equipment. Talked last month on November 19th. I went to Hyde County Sewer District Steering Committee meeting. Still having problems with overflow and wet weather. They do know areas that the problems are coming from. You know, there's sub pumps being pumped into the sewer system, there's foundation drains, gutter drains. So they're looking into that stuff now. Try to get some more of this illicit water out of the system before they have another consent order from DEC on that. So you're going to be talking about more about that as these meetings go on. You got two entrance doors to the highway garage. One that'll lock, doesn't lock all the time, and one that won't lock at all. I'm trying to get a contact with SACOs. They're working on trying to get those repaired. I talked to them again today. They're working on some, when that building was built, some of those parts aren't made anymore for those crash bars. So they're looking into putting new crash bars on and what fits those doors. Here's talk about the maintenance projects, Phil, up at the highway garage. New Freightliner chassis, you heard Phil talk about. It did go up for some warranty work in Watertown. We do have that back. They seem to have the problem resolved. We did get a snow blower in for the skid steer. That's here. And you heard the update on the Firehouse Road Bridge. If winter continues on the way it's going, I'm talking to a lot of guys out there in different towns. We're all looking at the same thing. All our sand is going down so fast. We're going to be looking for more materials. I'm guessing it keeps going right now, probably sometime the first week in January, or first week in February, I mean. Hopefully we can get through, but maybe not. Just want to keep the board updated. We may have to dip a little bit deeper to find some more materials, but we'll see. Hopefully not, but just keep you updated on what's going on. That's all I got.
All right, thank you. Planning board, Patty. Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. Buildings and codes, Mr. Maxwell left a report for review. We'll go to the town assessor first, Matt.
Yeah, hi. So I just got a few things here. I guess a few things that you guys might be getting calls for, or you know, kind of being bugged about, or is. It pertains to the STAR program, which is essentially the school tax relief program. A lot of people have been getting letters in the mail and things like that. So essentially what happened is it's that program is no longer in the hands of the assessor. We have really no more control over it. Essentially they've gone from exemptions to credits. And the state is their Department of Tax and Finance has taken over that. So they have essentially a hotline, they have a property owner portal, and we've been told to kind of direct everybody to those sources. So I've been fielding a lot of those questions. Some people have been getting letters in the mail saying we need updated income information or some kind of validation of some sort. So I've been fielding those the best I can. I know Karen's been getting phone calls. I am, you know, helping people out if they need, you know, whatever technical kind of help, or hop on the computer with them and get them logged into the portal and stuff like that. But so I'm gonna write up something for Karen to put on the website, just the hotline number, the portal link, and things like that. But so essentially, though, I mean that should kind of disappear over time. And STAR will really no longer be part of like local municipal kind of STAR. And another thing that kind of like a hot topic that you probably might be getting phone calls are, I know Karen maybe, I know it's been in the paper and things like that, but there's a new veterans exemption. It's essentially 100% off of real property taxes if you're 100% disabled vet. So from, you know, combat-related disability of 100%. So there are some other criteria, too. There's, you know, some kind of minutia to it, so, you know, I've been dealing with those things as well. And I'll probably put that, maybe in the newsletter or something, you know, just kind of talk about that. Yeah, so, and then kind of some simple items, just kind of doing the simple stuff, you know, the transfers as they're coming in, it's exemption time this year, so processing renewals and doing land value assessments and things like that. Also, as you're probably aware, there's a big backlog of inventory that's not on the roll, so just so you know, budgetarily, just this week I've put several million dollars of inventory on the roll. So that, yeah, that helps out. Really, that's our main relationship, is our taxes are going to go up, and you need to know what that percentage is. So you know, while it wasn't great in the past couple years with that, we survived it, so now we kind of have this backlog of inventory, and we'll kind of reap those benefits, I guess, here over the next couple of years, and adding a lot of value to the town. So that helps out with the budget. And I think what else? So I also became the executive board member of our county association. Assessors Association, so, you know, I got some pull there, so if you, you want some favors, but yeah, so that's good. The reason I bring that up is it keeps us connected, you know, with all the happenings, and, you know, kind of have a front row seat to all that stuff, and that only benefits me and you know, indirectly the town, so that's a good thing too. So, and you're paying for my membership, so I thought I was trying that.
That's it. Can I ask you two questions?
Yeah.
On the STAR, is everybody getting a letter? Does anyone have to? Will everybody on the STAR, whether it's STAR or full STAR, be prompted to take action automatically, or do they have to do action in the fort?
No, to answer the question, generally no. It doesn't involve everyone. It's a certain criteria, so essentially what it is any homeowner before 2015, if they were receiving STAR, then they were getting a STAR exemption. So that means they were getting a reduction in their
assessment. No, I know what that is, but the change, are people going to be prompted automatically, or do they have to call the hotline to continue it? Like, I know I have to keep renewing it myself.
Right, so do you get a check then?
No, I don't know. I get an exemption on my tax bill. Because I'm a senior, so most seniors do, right? So is there something that the owner has to do, or will they be notified?
Well, it depends. So if the exemptions are automatically being turned into credits, so instead of getting the exemption, then I don't know yet. I'd have to look at your case, but it should have been removed as an exemption and turned into a credit. So if that didn't happen, then something went wrong. Is this just basic STAR?
Enhanced
STAR.
But not just for myself, but for anyone. Maybe what I'll do is I'll come in and meet with you. I'm overdue to do that anyway. And then I can learn what this is all about. So when I'm asked, I'll be knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Let me do that.
So they're, it should be a smooth transition. They're supposed to be sending letters.
That's part of the question.
Yeah, so they are supposed to, you know, help everyone in this. Essentially what they're doing is they're taking my database, they're cleaning it, they're giving it back to the county real property, they're vetting it, they're getting it back to me. I should be seeing exemptions turned into credits. Assessed value will change, so the reduction in assessed value will now turn into a check that they'll give you a month before school bills.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than, you know, so they're going to kind of do it as a reimbursement, or
reimbursement?
So the credits get converted to dollars at some point, depending on how many credits, or, I mean, that's confusing.
Yeah, so the value is based on locality, and there, that's a big formula.
Oh.
Yeah, so I can't quite say exactly.
All right, let me come in and talk to you, and then we could educate me on that a little bit better. One other thing, when you say you added inventory, what is that, like former nonprofits or idle property?
That's just kind of my slang, I guess.
No, it's okay.
That's just slang.
Yeah.
Inventory is essentially just real property. So a house, a building, anything is inventory.
Right.
And there's just some things that haven't been really looked at over the years and have not been on the roll.
So they haven't been on the tax roll?
They haven't been on the tax roll.
Might have formerly been a nonprofit, old church or something that was bought?
No, anything.
Whatever, anything, okay.
New house.
Okay. All right, thanks for the clarification.
Anything and everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
All right, thank you. All right, Patty.
Excuse me. So we finished work on the draft of the battery energy storage law, and we also included in that law provisions for regulating EV charging stations. So that's a plus, I think, because up until this point we've relied on, the energy standards and the electrical standards and stuff, so now we have a little better definition for that. And now the ball is in your court as a town board to look at that. Interestingly enough, I did Karen Field in the email, I think, sent it to me. We did have an inquiry about a battery energy storage facility. It was small, 5 megawatts, so it's well within our jurisdiction of the town to regulate. Right now, the threshold for their state is standalone facilities for 80 megawatts, and anything associated with either a wind or battery or a solar facility, it's the 25 megawatt standard that Orbis uses. So looking ahead, I think it's a good thing. Hopefully the law is passed as is. Right now we're going to prohibit tier 2 storage systems because of the potential fire and the lack of the strain it will put on all the fire departments should we have that type of event happen in relationship to a BESS system. The other thing, just kind of getting away, that's pretty much it for the planning board. So we're caught up with a lot of stuff right now, which is a good thing. Then I did, as far as the update to the master plan, I did sit down with Rick Reichert from County Planning and on the 5th of January, and we talked about, first of all, we talked about funding. One of the things he suggested was grants through New York State's Smart Growth Initiatives. And then he and I got on to the topic of the fact that we are not exactly, in our current prohibition on BESS, if that goes through, our wind regulations and our solar facility regulations are not exactly probably what we call renewable energy friendly. So the fact that and then the criteria for that funding kind of would take us out of that loop as far as the smart energy growth grants go, the smart growth grants go. And also what we talked about, his associate Kristen Campbell, who was not at the meeting for she had a cold, she reviewed our master plan and was actually pleasantly surprised, I guess, to find that even though it's very old, it was very well written to begin with. So right now, the general consensus is that we can probably use that as a starting point to update from. One of the other items they threw out there was the cost of rewriting the entire master plan from scratch would probably be $150,000 plus. So if we can avoid an entire rewrite, that might be beneficial. Rick was going to look into some other grant opportunities that may be coming up as the year rolls along. County planning can help us out with several things. The fact that the wording in our master plan maybe could just use updating. Rick thought that some extra mapping would help quite a bit to keep our costs down, and the county can help us with that. They also have a format for a survey that would be useful for us to distribute to our residents. We can do that digitally on the website or through mailers or combinations, so we'll have a lot of exposure there. And then county planning has also developed a seminar to come to the town and meet with anybody, really, town residents, the town board, town planning, whoever, to sit down and kind of give a basic overview of how to get this process, you know, in gear and moving forward. So right now, we will coordinate with them and work to try and get a date for them to come to the seminar in town, which I think is an excellent opportunity. You know, we had great turnout at the town board meetings and the planning board meetings. Yep. So I think this would be an excellent, you know, excellent opportunity for all of us to become involved in this. And that's about it.
All right, thank you. Zoning board, Lur's out. Historian John's not available. Let's see. Parks, Debbie.
Yes, we were busy building the trail pretty regularly until this week with the rain. There seems to be an uptick in use of the trails. I see quite a few people out. And we had the first day hike, which was actually started by New York State 10 years ago to get people out on the first day of the year. And surprisingly, it was 11 degrees and we had about 25 people show up. So there is a lot more interest in using the trails. And as Karen said, we're doing our full moon snowshoe on the 31st. So I encourage everybody to come out. It's a free event. You can ski if you want, but it's a, you know, encourage people to come out. We do have snowshoes if you have never tried it before and want to try. We'll have snowshoes available tonight or at the event. And a lot of people still don't know that they're here at the town garage anytime you want. You can just call the clerk and it'll be time to use them for a day or so. So the new groomer is so much more amazing. It's heated. Goes up and down the hills like they aren't hills, which makes it a lot safer for us. And had a couple hiccups, but we're working those out. And I'm also helping with the Snowfest.
Snowfest. This year's
Olympic Snowfest.
The Olympics. So, this year's theme is the Olympics.
So we're hoping everybody comes out for that. And it kind of works out good because Linda had a great idea that we'll just keep the porta potties for a week, so we don't have to hit a double charge for those. So,
right.
So anyway, encourage everybody else to come out. The trails are in great shape. The new bridge gives access to more of the trails, and people are really enjoying them a lot. So, not just residents too. We see a lot of people from other towns and from the city and stuff like that. So our secret's getting out. We have great trails.
All right, great. Thank you. Town Attorney, Mr. Schmidt.
For those of you who don't know, last Wednesday a lawsuit was filed against the town of Deerfield. We were served with the papers today on behalf of Pathstone, and I'm in the process of reviewing it. We're going to work out a briefing schedule. Our initial appearance before the court is February 26th, I believe. 26th. I would recommend to the board that not make public comment or address the issue of Pathstone or the development along Horatio Street at this time, since litigation is now pending. So.
Okay.
One thing I have been asked, what's going on, what's the update? Is there, can that alone be an update, let people know that via the website or whatever? Because people are asking, whatever happened, they don't know. So I understand your recommendation, but
my recommendation is you did not discuss it.
No.
You want to announce that there's a lawsuit. It's a matter of public record. It's on file at the county clerk's office. But my recommendation is you do not discuss it.
Sure.
With the contents or any of the subject matter.
Do you know what I'm asking, though? Is there a way we can let people know what's going on? Because people have been asking what's going on. I said, well, no. Resolution was passed to deny the permit, and that's as far as I go. but they would like to know a little bit. I know you don't, maybe we could do that without discussing the project, but can, just what you said, can we say past zone project was, the resolution was passed to deny, but now it's under litigation. It's all the...
A lawsuit has been commenced by past zone against the town of Deerfield by virtue of the denial of the permit such that they could commence construction.
Yeah.
There's a number of grounds that form their action, and among those grounds are public comment and things that were made and stated publicly, right, wrong, or indifferent. Again, that would be as far as I go. I would recommend that there not be a discussion publicly about the lawsuit or the substance of the Pathstone or ARCN project.
Okay, thank you. Moving along to late privilege of the floor. Anyone for late privilege?
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
When Debbie was talking about the parks, we have one of our bridges, is called the Rainbow Bridge, and a resident in the town started it. When a family loses their pet, they would take their collar and go and hang it on this bridge. And it took on fast, and there's beautiful notes written with it, and both sides, I believe, are now filled. I spoke with the gentleman who initiated this, and he said he got a call from Good Morning America, and it is a possibility that they may come out to our little town of Deerfield to do a report on this Rainbow Bridge.
If you've never seen it, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You'll walk down there and look at it. It'll put tears in your eyes.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So that's all I wanted to say.
All right, that's great. Thank you. Anyone else late privilege?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Sam, the bridge on Firehouse Road, is that going to be a clear span bridge? Do we know
that? At this point, yes. I mean, we don't have the official design yet, but that's what they're designing for. The things that I've looked at so far, yes.
Will that have a debris rack on it catching?
That I can't tell you until I see
the... And the only reason why I asked about that was because I'm not sure the location in South Utica, but there was a debris rack that wasn't cleaned by the city, and residents sued the city because they had flooding. So if there is a rack, it's just something we got to, you know, keep in mind. That,
yeah, I'm not sure until we officially see the design of it, right, and what they do. You know, that'll be coming. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to update the board on what... I mean, this has been in process now for... I've been talking about it for a lot of years. I applied 3 times for this money.
No, I remember the repairs being done. Yeah. The other thing, now that road will be shut down, so the fire department would have to go into the city.
Yes, yeah, I already talked to the fire company. They know tentatively right now, they're looking at a 27 construction year. But it'll take most of the summer to do that. But it'll be less than a full year, but... that whole summer, fall, or late springtime will probably be taken up. That'll be closed.
Utilities will go under the creek. There's some in the bank now, right?
I can't tell you that because, like I said, until we see the sign right of it, I can't tell you exactly what their plan is.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. One second, Mr. Roger, right in the back there. He was up first. Just state your name, please.
John Booth, Route 8, in regards to the fire issue. I'm one of the original 7 that stood up the Joint Fire District. I resigned in 2019 for a variety of different reasons. I'll be quick. I used to come up here personally when Mr. Mahardy was here and Quackenbush, and I don't recall any of the other names anymore. It's been too long. But every time it came time when we started setting up the tax levy, I used to come up and I would have a copy for everyone. I would present it to Ms. Ruckel. I may have that wrong. He used to be the town clerk. The reason I am talking is, may I respectfully suggest perhaps somebody from the town board reach out to the fire commission, regardless of the litigation that's ongoing, etc., and ask if perhaps that could commence again, because at the time we were appointed by each town as a representative, Ms. Mahardy accepted my offer to fill that position, because it is an elected position, but they're volunteers, not paid by law. And each town had one similar appointed person. Mm-hmm. And then after the second year, we represented everybody. Not that we weren't in the beginning anyway. So it didn't matter if Colebrook or Norway or somebody came up and had a question, I represented them as well. So I would just, as a suggestion, perhaps somebody reach out, engage with them directly, and see if they can start doing that. Maybe they already are, and I'm just ignorant to that fact. But I did that more or less for the 4 years that I was there, bringing those reports forward so that the town could see that, because obviously as you guys know, but maybe the general public doesn't. Once they determine what that levy's gonna be, that's your only opportunity to say, wait a minute, this is too high, too low, or can I ask you some questions about it? Because they're just like a school board, and that once they levy it, that's it. And it could have changed, obviously that's very simplistic. And then just on the town, and I'll be quick on the garage issue. As you know, I was here a year ago this month talking about all the abandoned properties around me. And I drive past that 6 days a week going back and forth to work, and that's forefront of my mind as well. I get it, there's other issues pending there as far as cold storage, etc. As a guy who's surrounded by abandoned properties, I would like to, sooner rather than later, and again, I get the constraints, just wanted to throw my 2 cents out there. I would like to see that. One of the many reasons I moved here when I was married and retiring from the military was because I liked the area, I liked the deer field, I liked how it looked. I don't like how that looks up there now. And the barn being a singular issue and the other properties, but I would like to see some movement on that and be following that pretty close. And as a resident, I'd appreciate if something can be done about that sooner or as soon as possible. Thank you.
Yeah, real quick, I forgot to mention this. Mr. Maxwell is also looking at the unsafe building on the corner of Route 8 and North Gage Road.
Okay.
Right now. I'm sure you're aware of that one. I think you brought that up in the past. So.
And again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not about to tell anybody what to do with their property. But when it starts impinging on, like, I'm watching the...
I understand.
That's the assessor. He's doing his job. I watch the assessed value of my property slowly but surely, like everyone else here, go up because of all the different reasons. And then I look at that mess next to me, and thank you and to Mr. Fusco, you both were instrumental in getting Mr. Maxwell advised that there's a resident living issue. They did contact me, they did come out and look at that, and I do appreciate that. So I'm aware of your work, and I realize it takes a long time, but thank you.
Okay.
For that.
Thank you. Mr. Rozier.
Thank you. I'm Ken Rozier. I'm a local resident. And I enjoy coming to these meetings. I'm especially excited tonight because we have young people here, which I think is very nice. We need to get young people involved in what's going on in their communities. A few moments ago, you witnessed an exchange of ideas between Mr. Fusco and Mr. Sacco, the supervisor, and Mr. Sacco's uncle, Phil. And although it is healthy, especially in a democracy, to exchange ideas, especially when you don't agree, it is unhealthy when it gets into using emotion without the benefit of intellect.
Mr. Rozier, could you please address the board? That's part of our Robert's rule.
Would you like me to make eye contact with you, Greg?
With the town board, please, yes. That's part of our Robert's rule of law.
Would you like me to make eye contact with each one of the town board members?
If you could, please. That's part of our Robert's rule of law.
That's okay.
That's part of our... No, please.
It's childish.
Okay.
But it's okay. I'll play the game with you, Greg, because you're still growing up.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is that without any kind of exchange of ideas between these two gentlemen, nothing politically motivated whatsoever other than it was your uncle involved. You immediately went to the defense of accusing Mr. Fusco of acting somehow like the Oneida County Republican Committee. If you don't mind me speaking,
I addressed the entire town board.
If you don't mind, if I can make eye contact with you and speak.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Uninterrupted, that would be at least semi-professional on your part.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And as he's exchanging ideas, you don't like that exchange and somehow chime in now and tell Mr. Fusco that what he's acting like is like how the Oneida County Republican Committee acts at their meetings. And so my question to you, it's easy, yes or no. Have you personally ever been to an Oneida County Republican Committee meeting?
No.
You haven't?
No, sir.
As chairman of the Oneida County Republican Committee, it's insulting for you to sit there and make a statement in front of all of us about my committee that is made up of very, very good people, like Mr. Fusco, who's not on the committee, but his mindset about having accountability and being able to talk professionally to each other goes through my whole committee. And although I realize, and I'm hoping when you're the supervisor, you can overcome the fact that you're a Democrat supervisor, which is perfectly okay with me because I've known you growing up your whole life. But you really have no business accusing my committee of being unprofessional at our meetings when, A, you've never been to one. And quite frankly, for people in our committees, just like in the Democrats, these people that are in our committees, committee people, they do all of this work, the hours of work, for nothing. They volunteer their time. And for you to sit here at my town's meeting that I've been in this town 40 years, and to sit there and say that somehow an organization that I'm part of, that I'm proud to lead because of the things that we've accomplished, including, quite frankly, you know, this is why I felt compelled to stand up to you. Because one of the people that we've met is I've only been chair, as you know, for a little more than a year, okay? But President Trump knows who Oneida County is because he did a shout out to us 2 weeks ago because of the work that we do. A friend of mine, who I wasn't a friend of mine until a year ago until we did work, his name is Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk and a number of people in the Oneida County committee that you talked down about brought two chapters of Turning Point to our area. So with all due respect, I would simply say to you, in terms of maturing as a supervisor, leave politics out of these meetings. If you have facts, it's one thing. But when you don't have facts and you use it with emotion, then you lend themselves to having exchanges like this in front of people that we don't need to do that in front of. We're trying to set an example for them to follow. And for you to say that somehow our meetings, including the inauguration of President Trump that we did live, that somehow there was something disjointed in our meetings, and you've never been to one, is really out of line. I would appreciate if you could be professional enough and big enough as an individual to at least apologize to me so that I can apologize to my committee. Would that be possible?
Listen, I agree to disagree. I have my own beliefs. You have your own beliefs.
That's fine.
I think we're all here. And I'll say, I wasn't pointing anything at Ms. Fusco. I was talking to the entire board.
You referred to my committee. You referred to my committee specifically without any facts, any evidence other than emotion. And that was wrong. It was unprofessional. And all I'm asking you to do right now is just be big enough to say, Ken, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have. That's it. And then I leave and that's it. Just be big enough to be professional like I have to be leading this organization. I have a lot of people within our organization that do the same emotional response as you just did. And I have to rise above it.
Right. And I'm trying to rise above that now. I'm trying to control the whole board.
And it was unprofessional.
Okay.
And you really had no place here, especially in front of young people.
Well, I agree to disagree with you.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else for late privilege? Yes, sir.
Larry Julio.
Yes.
I compliment Sam and the town, Highway Department. A great job on the roads. We had winter since Thanksgiving. It's not giving up yet. So, Sam, nice job.
Thank you.
Very nice, Sam.
Thanks, Larry. Anyone else? Late privilege? All right, we'll move on to motion to pay bills. Okay. Need a motion we pay general fund bills 1 through 25.
I'll make the motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
I need a motion we pay, pay highway bills 1 through 15.
I motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Greg,
all in favor?
Aye. Can anybody sign the kids thing? Or
yes.
I'll got to be the supervisor.
No, anyone.
Anyone.
Council meetings?
Yeah.
They want to come.